Hello everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar, Data Science for Database Professionals. Our presenters for today are Wee-Hyung Tok, Senior Data Scientist Manager at Microsoft, and Fang Zhu, who is a data scientist at Microsoft. Before we begin, I'd like to cover a few housekeeping items. Today's presentation will run for about an hour. The webinar is being recorded and will be available on demand within 48 hours. A copy of today's presentation and recording link will be sent to you via email once the files are available. If you have any questions during the webcast, please enter your question in the Q&A widget on the left of your screen and click Submit. We'll try and get through as many questions as we can during the live broadcast. With that, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Wee-Hyung. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rahi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks a lot for attending this webinar, and we do appreciate your time that you take right in trying to get together and understand what does it mean for data science for database professionals. So before we get started, we just want to get a sense of, you know, who are the people attending this webinar and what is their respective role. So let's spend about 15 seconds trying to take this question, just to give us a sense of whether you're a database professional, whether you're a data scientist, whether you're both, or you have not decided yet what kind of role you play. Let's spend 15 seconds on this. Thank you. So before we get into the webinar proper, right? If you are a database professional, the goal here for this webinar is that it's going to help you demystify what data science is, how you can tame and how you can leverage it in order for you and the developers in your organization to create intelligent applications. And hopefully through this webinar, we hope that this will help you jumpstart into the exciting world of data science, understanding how you can work with the data scientist friends of yours, co-workers, much better. Now, if you are a data scientist, we hope that this webinar will help you understand how you can take advantage of some of the exciting capabilities happening in the SQL Server space, and how we blend this with R that will enable you to work with the database folks in your company much better. So the question here is, are you a database professional or data scientist? Hopefully this webinar would you will benefit from it. Now let's take a look at what does a database professional do for the data scientists out there, and hopefully this will also help recap what a database guy would do. Now today, us as database professionals, we spend a lot of time working with data in a database, but more importantly, we make use of tools like SQL Server Management Studio, or SSMS in short, to connect to the database, to play with the data, to explore the data, but more importantly, to manage the database such that it is always highly high performing, and more importantly, it is able to answer the queries, whether it's queries coming from reports, whether it's queries coming from applications, right, and to enable this query run really, really fast so that you have very responsive application. Now, on the extreme right-hand side of it, of course, we will have built dashboards, you will have built applications, and all these applications connect to database for various kinds of tasks. Now, if you look at the innovation in the database space for the past many, many years, right, we as database professionals, we do understand how we could tune a database to make it really fast and high performing. But at the same time, over the years, we have also learned how we can build indexes in order to speed up specific queries or specific workloads. And if you look at recent years, today you have in-memory tables. You could build a column store index on the data. And more recently, with SQL 2016, now you have the ability to blend both in-memory and column store together. And that enables you to do real-time operational analytics. Now, with these amazing capabilities for updatable column store indexes, you are now able to both work with a transactional as well as an analytical database engine all rolled into one. But more importantly, why does this matter? This then enables you to solve business problems in real time. And as and when you think about advanced analytics, this actually allows you to provide tremendous value to the data scientists that you work with, right? In order also to speed up a lot of the data science workload that they will be using. Now, to show you this in action, let us start off with a demo on real-time operational analytics using SQL 2016. Let me switch to my demo screen. Now, what you're seeing here is a SQL 2016 database. And in this database, what we have done is we have loaded the data that comes from the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. The database itself is about 12 terabyte uncompressed. But more specifically today, we're going to query one of these tables just to show you how fast column source is. Now, to do that, let me show you how many rows there are in this table, which we call photo object R. Now, you'll see that this table, photo object R, has about 1.2 billion rows, and on this is about 4.3 terabytes. Now, what we have done is we have built a column store index on top of this table, and we're going to run this query, which you're seeing here on the screen. And what essentially this query does is it's going to do a full scan of the database, but more importantly, it's going to tell you which are the fast-moving objects, right, that are near Earth. More specifically, which are the asteroids that's going to hit us, right? And of course, then you could build intelligent application out of this. Now, before I run this query, you'll see the estimated query plan that you see that's showing here below, where at the end of this, we're leveraging the column store index. And this column store index is going to speed up this query by a large factor. So let me run this query. And see that this query scans over 1.2 billion rows, right? And this table itself has about 509 columns. Now, if you do the math, this is about 600 billion data points that it has to scan through in order to answer this query. And it just returns just like that, right? That's the power of column store. And today, us as database professionals, we can now build column store. We can now blend column store and in-memory tables together. But more importantly, later on in the demo, you'll see that how this will then enable you to be able to run a lot of the data science workload much faster, and how this will enable a data science professional or a data scientist in general, right, to be then able to do a lot of this data science-y stuff within the database. Now, the question here is, what does a data scientist do? Right. And today on this call, I invited Fang. Fang is a very experienced data scientist on the team. And she's going to share with you what does a data scientist do, but more importantly, what she does on a day-to-day basis. And we're going to play this role of, well, me as a database guy, Fang as a data scientist, how after she has built the model that she's going to show you in a moment, I'm able to take her model and then operationalize it within SQL Server. I'm going to show you then how can I build intelligent applications on top of this model, right? And therefore enabling me to create tremendous value within the company. Fang, please.
Now, let me share with you what data scientist does on the day-to-day basis. Every time I get a data science project, a new data science project, one of the most key important things being able to do data science is really about the data. And therefore, I will make use of the tools like R tools for Visual Studio. I will use R tools for Visual Studio in order to develop the various R code that is needed to explore the data, visualize the data, perform feature engineering, but more importantly, to build the model, evaluate the model, test the model, and eventually deploy and operationalize the model. Now, within the data science community, Before our tools for Visual Studio, I have known that a lot of data scientists make use of tools like RStudio and Jupyter Notebook as well. As I developed R3, one of the things I will do on the day-to-day basis is to submit this R3 to R runtime if I am using R, or to Python runtime if I am using Python. But more importantly, every time I'm doing with my R3 as part of feature engineering work, I will bring out the data from various data sources, whether it is a database or separate data files. And I will bring them into the R environment in order to do join, merge, or other data aggregation. Now, think about it. With a lot of the innovation that is happening in the in-database analytics, I will now have the ability to run my R3 along with doing data aggregation or in-memory queries or in-database. Now, let me switch a little bit to talk about R for folks who are not very familiar with it. On the left-hand chart, you can see there is a growing trend of R usage during the past couple of years. Among various programming languages for analyzers, database professionals, or application developers, R stands at a very high ranking, as shown in the right-hand chart. Nowadays, R's popularity continues to outpace other alternatives. One of the reasons why R is so popular and be used so extensively lies in that R allows users to access a rich set of free available add-on packages in its public repository, CRAM. Whether you're looking at an image processing problem, forecast problem, social network analysis problem, or even customer churn prediction problem, you can always find the right R packages and algorithms available to support your analysis and jumpstart in doing your data science project. Aware that Microsoft has now announced the Microsoft R Server, R Server is an enterprise-class big data, big analytics platform, which provides you the ability to run R at the enterprise scale. Fully compatible with open source R, R Server enables you to deliver analytics that scales from workstations to large clusters, or scales to your largest and perform against your most complex datasets. With a growing portfolio of built-in parallelized algorithms, R Server offers a much faster computation speed, thus obviously shortening the time you spend in model development. It also provides you the ability to easily deploy your model across multiple platforms by just coding once and operationalize it in a secure and scalable way. The next slide shows you the key components of Microsoft R Server, ranging from the tools that you can use to access R, to the rich set of libraries that we talked about earlier, and then to the main components enabling multi-data source connectivity, high-performance big data analytics, and multi-platform support, and finally to the toolkit for deploying and operationalizing your advanced analysis solution. Now, let me hand it over to Wei-Hyun again, who will share with you a demo we built together in order to show you how database professionals can do data science work. Wei-Hyun.
Now, to show you and to illustrate how database professionals can work with data science in general, we're going to show you an end-to-end demo of Fang building the model and me going to consume the model within SQL Server. Now, before we dive into the demo proper, let me share with you the demo scenario. So in this demo, we're going to show you how you can leverage SQL Server 2016 with R to work with a telco customer churn problem. Now, for many of us who do not know what customer churn is, customer churn essentially means the loss of existing customers, or customers in the telco switching from a higher value service to a lower value service. And many a times when you look at the telco annual reports, you actually see a section that's called customer attrition. Now, one of the reasons why we choose telco churn is because of a very inspiring as well as interesting story that happened to me many years ago. Now, before I joined Microsoft, I was with one of the Asian telcos. And one of the things every year, just before the business planning meeting, my director of IT will usually come to us where we are part of the data warehousing team in telco, and she would tell us this. She would say, well, you guys are the database guy. You guys are sitting on a trove of very, very important data. And this data itself could create new value for the business. And therefore, why me as an IT director goes into a business planning meeting, but the business folks tells me these are the applications I should build in order to help them in their business. I wish that I can go into this business planning meeting and I'm able to tell them, hey, you know, within the data warehouse, within the specific few data sets that we have in the data warehouse, these are the insights that are available. And why don't we build applications on top of this? That was really, to me, inspiring in the sense that today we do a lot of conversations and discussions about building intelligent application. But essentially, intelligent application is there to create that value for the business. And that's one of the reasons why Fang and I spend lots of time together in order to build and flesh out an end-to-end demo to show you how you could build these models in a database, but more importantly, consuming them in a very simple application. Now, the other reason why we chose customer churn as a demo scenario is because of the following, right? Today, we're going to show you how you could model, you could evaluate the model, and you could operationalize it in a database. But churn is really a problem that is spread across different industries, right? Whether we started off with telco, this goes to retail, this goes into finance, this goes into many, many kinds of industry where managing churn, keeping your customers happy, and giving them a pleasurable or delightful experience is important. And that's the reason why we chose churn as the motivating demo. Now, before I get into the demo proper, just to orientate you to the data that you'll see in the demo, this data was really data that we created based on understanding of what is known as call detail records. Call detail records are like your logs. Every time you make a call, now this call is picked up by one of the cell towers. Now, this cell tower essentially gets connected to a call switch. The call switch will tell, hey, who did you call? How long did you spend on the call? Which cell tower pick up the call? And more importantly, dump this essentially into data that can be loaded into a database. And many telcos today are doing that, loading this call detail record files, transforming them, doing a bunch of analytics on them before landing them into a data warehouse, and in order for them to build reports on top of it. Now, deep within this call detail record files, you get information about how often the call is dropped, what is the failure rate when every time someone makes a call. At the same time, from other sources, whether it's from online websites, you get things about, you know, people contacting customer support, either via online or via a call, the number of complaints that's happening. And at the same time, you also get information about each of the customers from the CRM database. For example, who this customer is, when is their date of birth, what is their education level, are they single or are they married? Now, at the same time, for the plans that the person has signed up with the telco, you get information about, well, when would the plan terminate? What is the kind of penalty imposed on the customer if they were to switch plans in between? Right. Do they have loyalty points? If they have lots of loyalty points, does that mean that then this loyalty points allows them to buy additional accessories for the phone? And so on and so forth. Now, this data, at the end of the day, is about being able to build a model on top of it. And using this model, I'm able to determine whether the customer is likely going to churn or not to churn, and when that will happen within the next 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or to a year. And as a result of that, me will then be able to work with my marketing people to be able to create marketing campaign that addresses this customer's needs and requirements and making sure and keeping them as happy customer. Now, to start off with this problem, one of the things that I'll do is, well, I own the data warehouse. I have already done all the ETLs that I need in order to load data into the data warehouse. And my IT director comes up to me and says, well, you know, why don't you create new value? Can you build a model to do it? And as a result of it, I turn to data scientists like Fang, who will then take this data and start building models on top of it. And of course, she's going to walk you through what are the kinds of steps that she will do as a data scientist to first understand the data, to think about how she should go about building a very effective model, right? And we're going to show this to you in a demo. So let me hand this over to Fang, who is going to show you a demo on how data scientists can leverage in database analytics. And what is meant by that is that how her as a data scientist, even though she's making use of many of the R developer tools, she is now able to connect to a database. In this case, we refer to this database as our telco data warehouse, and how she's going to work with the data, how she's going to eventually build a model, how she's going to evaluate the model. But more importantly, once she's done with that, she's going to hand back all these things that she has done to me as a database guy so that I can further take it. I can work with the developers in my team in order to build very sophisticated applications on top of this. So let me hand this over to Fang.
In this demo, what I'm going to show you is how we can leverage R tools for Visual Studio in order to do data science. Let's switch to the virtual machine with SQL 2016 R services and R tools for Visual Studio installed. I have already created an R project for Telecom customer churn, which contains several R files to do initial setup, data exploration and visualization, data pre-processing and feature engineering, model training and evaluation, along with a demo driver file. Now, let's experience the in-database analytics by executing the demo file alone. First of all, we need to specify different compute contexts. In SQL, compute context, and local parallel compute context. Then we can switch to local parallel compute context and connect to the data in SQL Server database. We have already prepared during the data pre-processing and feature engineering stage. If you check the data information, you will know the data is in a format of SQL Server data source rather than a data frame stored in memory. Of course, we can also transform our data to be a data frame. After getting the data ready, we can start to explore and visualize them on the data frame or on the SQL Server data source directly by leveraging a combination of variable scale R functions for data aggregation and various open source packages such as ggplot2. we can apply machine learning algorithms such as XGBoost provided by open source R to train, score, and evaluate the model in memory directly on the data frame. Or we can apply the scale R algorithms such as RxDeForest to train your model with SQL compute context. The usage of SQL compute context enables you to run reverse scale parallelized algorithm in SQL database without pulling the data out. Thus, we can reduce the heavy data movement, especially when you are dealing with the big data. The bigger the size of your data, the more obvious advantages of the in-database compute context that you will see. Because we set the maximum depth of the tree to be 32, so it will take a little bit longer for the algorithm to do iteration and then provide us the final result. Here, because the data in the core detail records dataset is such kind of imbalanced data, so here we just set the loss function in the RxDeForest models to do modeling on the imbalanced data. Before the model building, actually we have already used some SMOTE technique to rebalance the data set and generate the training data for modeling. Now let's take a look at the model. And the importance of each feature to your response. Once you have your trend model ready, it will also, by switching back to local compute context, you can finally use the trend model to predict on tested dataset and evaluate your model performance as well. The higher true positive, accuracy, precision, recall, F-score, or AUC you achieve, the better your model will be. That is my demo to show you the in-database analytics capability of SQL Server 2016 R services. Let's have a quick summary of the demo. As a data scientist, we can work from our IDE on the workstation and execute an R3 that runs in-database and then easily get the result back by setting the SQL compute context and then let your algorithm run inside database. Then let me hand over to Weixiong again.
Thank you, Fang. So I think earlier on while Fang is presenting, I've also been looking at the questions in the Q&A window. And I think some of you were saying, hey, you know, we walked through the R code really quickly, and you might not have the time to dive deep into what each part of the R code does. Now, just to summarize, what you're seeing Fang doing is she has accelerated the process of her as a data scientist doing data science. But more importantly, what she showed you is the moment someone hands her a problem, a business problem in this case is, well, build a model to figure out customer churn in the context of telcos. She has walked you through various steps of her exploring the data using various packages, whether it's open source packages or packages that's available in the RevoScale R library, in order to try different ways in trying to get to a good model. As part of that, you see her doing a bunch of visualizations. This could mean looking at the data, looking at the data distribution. You have seen her using various kinds of algorithm, right? Whether it's XGBoost or RXForest, in order for her to understand the characteristics of how the model performed with respect to data. And while that was done really quickly, we hope to share with you all this code that we're showing you in this webinar, so that at your free time, you can download the code from GitHub, and then using that, hopefully you will be able to do further exploration. And we'll be glad to take any questions if you need any help in that area. And we'll also point you to tutorials after this webinar to allow you to jumpstart if you're very new to this field. So hope that answers some of the questions in the Q&A window. Now, we're going to switch gear a bit just to talk about why doing what Fang has shown, right? Why putting R in the database in the same place, right, is truly important. Now, when we say R is built into SQL Server, we truly mean that R is built in. And you're going to see in this webinar how that happens. And I'm going to take some of the work that Fang has done earlier, right, and then leverage this within SQL Server in a follow-up demo. But before we get into that part of the webinar, one of the things I want to talk about is, why are we doing all this? Yes, it enables data scientists to be able to leverage a database in order to do their day-to-day tasks. Data stays in SQL Server. It doesn't leave and get into your workstation. But the reason why we're doing all this and being able to blend advanced analytics and a database together is you really want to get to a point where you can build intelligent applications. And by intelligent applications, what we really mean is applications that are able to enable you to be proactive, that enable you to stay one step ahead of your competitor, but more importantly, applications that learns with new data that comes in over time, that enable you to power your apps, that is going to give your operational people, that's going to give your retail people, right, that little added advantage, right, of staying one step ahead of the game. So most of the time, we start off with a lot of conversations, and we say, I want an intelligent application. And often, this is a very vague statement to say, what does it mean to have an intelligent application, which I explained to you earlier? But most people say, well, if I want to work with the developers in my company to build intelligent application, tell me your secret sauce. Tell me what are the ingredients or the recipe for building an intelligent application. So if we look at an intelligent application, the recipe is really very simple, and we're going to summarize it here in three simple steps. It is really about the data that you have, the data that's sitting in various data sources or databases in the company. But more importantly, it's being able to leverage machine learning techniques to be able to make sense of this data. But more importantly, once you make sense of this data, you want to be able to operationalize it. And when you want to operationalize something, you could either say, well, let's introduce new ways or new application interfaces. Or you could say, well, you as a developer and you're familiar with developing a database application, you can then make use of the same skill set that you have on how to connect to a database, how to invoke a stop procedure in a database, how to run a query against a database. And all this data science-y stuff just gets wrapped up in a way that you no longer need to say, well, do I need additional libraries? Do I need this or do I need that? But more importantly, your application stays the way it is today, but it has changed from the application it is today into an intelligent application. Now, in this slide, you see a database professional and a data scientist. And we say, well, what are the questions that will go inside their head when this happens? Well, if I'm a data scientist, I'll say, well, where does the data come from? Is it sitting in the database? Great. If it's not, can I bring it into the database so that it can be done on a regular basis so that I always have updated data? Now, I want to do feature engineering. I want to be able to determine whether the existing column in a table is useful, or should I add additional columns? Should I combine columns? Should I do other kinds of transformation of the data in order to get the information I need in order for me to build the model? And many a time in the past, me as a data scientist, I might bring this data into my R environment, and I might be using various R packages, for example, to do joins, to do aggregation, to do lots of counting. Now that I have the power of a database backing this, can I push some of these joins and aggregation into the database? And can I then leverage a lot of the things that we talked about earlier, whether it's improving query performance by building indexes, or improving query performance because I have an in-memory column store table, and therefore I can do real-time operational analytics on top of it? And if I'm a database guy or I'm a developer, I say, well, great, someone within the company, within the IT department, has already built the model. How can I help this person operationalize it so that I can consume it in application that's already entrenched within the company? And can, more importantly, can many of my existing app, which my people are already familiar with, right, suddenly get new functionality? And this new functionality light up because of the power of combining advanced analytics and a database. Now, to show you that in action, we're going to have two demos combined into one. For the first part of the demo, I'm going to show you what Fang has done earlier in R tools of Visual Studio. She has handed me the model because she has checked in the model and all the R code that she has within source code control, and I've already brought it up, and I want to be able to then leverage this, right, and making sure that me, right, can just easily integrate her work into my world, which is a database guy's world. Now, to do that, I'm going to switch on to my demo machine. I'm going to wait a while it appears on your screen. Now, what you're seeing here is a very familiar tool that many of us have come to love over the years, SQL Server Management Studio. And in this, I have a database, which is Telco EDW2. And you'll see that I have a bunch of tables here. Well, if we take a look at what's inside EDW CDR, which is the call detail record table, in this case, I have data about the customer. Now, you realize that we have removed some of the information that is not useful for this discussion. And you have things like the age, the annual income, the call drop rate, call failure rate, which is all computed as a result of the ETL process before I load it into the database. And a bunch of other information about this customer. And more importantly, because this is historical data, if I move from left to right, you will see a column here that says whether the customer will churn or not churn. Now, I could then, well, I could say, can I do a select star, count star, and I could say churn. And let me just go down. I could say, well, tell me the distribution of customers that will churn or not churn. Now, what I'm doing here are just very simple things which all of us as database professionals I'm sure you have written even more complex queries than this. And what this query is just going to say, I'm going to group by churn. And it's going to tell me how many people are churning and how many people are not churning, right? Nothing fantastic here. Now that I played with the data and Fang has explored and done significant amount of data exploration of the data, she has given me code. So she has given me code in the form of a model building, which I've extracted out into Visual Studio. And these are essentially the code that she showed earlier, where she was training the model, she was trying to connect to the data source, she was doing different kinds of methods of trying to build a model. In this case, she's trying to build a random forest model. And to me, I say, wow, this is great. How do I then leverage this within the database? So if I switch back to SQL Server Management Studio, for the purpose of this demo, we have already pre-created this stop procedures. And let's take a look at what is inside this stop procedures. So here you see a bunch of stop procedures. And this stop procedure is really done in a way that says, well, you know, tell me and use the model that Fang has built and integrate it into a stop procedure so that my applications can consume it really easily. And if I were to take a look at what is inside this stop procedure, you will see the following, right? I created a stop procedure called CDR RX forest, or I can say create a procedure, and I want to say build a telco churn model on CDR using the RX deforest algorithm, which is a reverse scale R algorithm. And what you see here in red is really the R code. Now, this R code is essentially code that Fang has given me. And I have high confidence that she has built the right model. I just copy and paste the script into here. Now, of course, in order for me to use R and T-SQL together, I need to make sure that my inputs and my outputs are well defined. So in this case, what you see here is I define my input is selecting star from EDW CDR train. Right? And in this case, my output is essentially a result set called model binary max. So what I've done is I have combined T-SQL and R together, and this execute in the context of SQL Server. And if I were to execute this particular sub procedure, which I've pre-opened earlier, let me just close some of the screens. I'm now able to invoke this stop procedure, and if I were to run this, what is happening in the background is SQL Server, right, is leveraging R to run that piece of code that you saw earlier in red, is building a RX deforest model, and this stop procedure is going to return me a result that I can then serialize and store within SQL Server. Now, give it a while, this is going to take about 30 plus seconds to run. Now, as this is running, let me also answer some of the questions in the Q&A. Some of you were saying, hey, you know, how big this data set is. For this purpose of this demo, where we don't want everyone to wait for a long time, this is a very small data set. But earlier on, before we start off this demo, you saw in the earlier demo on column store, even with a 4 plus or 4.9 terabyte table, with column store and in memory, you actually get huge amount of performance boost. So whether this is a small data set, big data set, right? And because you're now able to run all this in one place, right, you actually can work with significantly large data set as well. Now, as we're talking, you'll see that the results has returned. And this is essentially a var binary max data, which we have serialized, and which we are going to pre-store into this table called CDR RX models. So let's take a look inside what is inside this table. Now, this database that we're showing here, we're going to make it available to everyone in this webinar so that you can also play with it. But essentially, in this CDR RX model, I have leveraged a lot of the great work that Fang has done. But more importantly, we have trained several models from a boosted decision tree the decision for us, and also leveraging some of the open source library like XGBoost. And each one of these is essentially the serialized version of the model, which I can then now leverage in order to build my intelligent application. Now, the next thing that most people will ask is, what is your model metrics, right? Is your model high performing? Specifically for this RxD forest, is it really high performing or is it good or bad? Now, to a data scientist, there's well-defined metrics in order for you to determine whether this model is well-performing. And for that, we have also leveraged R code in this model evaluate stop procedure. And if I were to run this, you'll see that it tells me, hey, you know, for this RxD forest model that I have built, I get a reasonable amount of accuracy. Precision, it looks decent. I have good recall, and I have good F score as well. Now, all these metrics, whether it's accuracy, precision, recall, F score, or some other metrics like AUC, these are really great metrics for you, right, to determine the quality and the effectiveness of your model in the context of classification tasks. Let's suppose now I have evaluated this, and I'm happy with the results of this model. The next thing I want to do is I have new data, new customers that come in where they have already built up a significant 2 to 3 months worth of core detail information. Now I want to determine whether these customers are likely to churn or not to churn. Now for me to do that, I can then invoke this thought procedure, which I call predict CDR churn RX forest. So if I were to run this, which is a stop procedure, this is going to leverage the model that I've serialized into the CDR RX models table. And it's going to tell me which customers are likely to churn or not to churn within the next month. So if I have to execute this, you'll see that what has just happened is that we have invoked a stop procedure. In this stop procedure, if I were to drill down into it and I look at RX forest, this is again stop procedure that has the same signature that you're used to, stop procedure, R code. But more importantly, what you can see here is we have unserialized the model that we have trained earlier. We make use of the RX predict function in order to predict whether the customer is likely to churn, not to churn. We printed out some debugging information. But more importantly, we have delivered this as an output. Right, and you'll see that this output is really coming from this data frame, which is EDW CDR test prep, which is defined here. Now, and this then is output as a result set. And that's the reason why when you saw, when I execute this stop procedure, you see this result set being written. Now, if I go to messages, you will see some of the debugging message that I have printed out just to get a sense of, hey, you know, whether this procedure is working, is functioning well or not. Now, at this point in time, I have combined T-SQL. I have combined T-SQL with R, and that's what we meant by when we say R is built in. We truly mean R is built into SQL Server, and now you're able to do all this very powerful tasks. And more importantly, you're turning many of the stop procedures that you know and you're familiar today into intelligent stop procedure that will then make your applications even to be more effective than it is today. Now, let me quickly switch on to how you can consume this in an application, just to give you a sense of how your existing application doesn't change, right? And you can leverage all the things that I'm showing here. So now that I've wrapped the R code as a T-SQL stop procedure, I can go and build an intelligent app. In this case, it's a console application. Or I could build a mobile app using some of the Xamarin libraries that's out there. And for the purpose of this demo today, I'm going to show you how this looks like. Now, this code that you see here has been greatly simplified. But the flow is something that all of us as database people, all of us as developers, are really familiar with. We started off with defining the connection string. And in this case, we're connecting to the telco EDW2 database, which already have all the stop procedures defined earlier. And we say, well, I want to execute the predict CDR churn RX forest. I specified the parameter that I'm going to pass to the stop procedure. It's an RxD forest. And that's it. Next, I said that my command type is a stop procedure. And finally, I said, well, if I execute this stop procedure, it's going to return me a data set. And this data set, I'm going to iterate through it. And for those that are churn, or customers that's likely to churn, I'll print them out, or I'll print the customer ID. And I'm going to do a count. And finally, when I finish running this, I'm going to get the number of churn customers within the next month and account. Now, this flow, even though this is a very simple console application, it shows you all the key elements that you have done today when you are building your web application or whether you're building your in-house application. Now, if I were to run this code essentially has just connected to SQL Server. It has executed the stop procedure that has the R code embedded in it. It has returned the results. And we have iterated through the results to get the customer IDs. But more importantly, we have counted the number of churn customers that is likely to churn within the next month. And imagine from this very simple console application and the key patterns that you see here, you can then now take all this familiar interface, things that's nothing new, things that we are used to working on a day-to-day basis, and being able to use this kind of same concept in the applications that you're building, and that enables you to be able to build your intelligent applications that we talk about. Now, but more importantly, me as a developer, I have now my code for my intelligent application. I could have built a mobile application. In this case, this could be Xamarin. Or I could leverage and take a look at the code that my data scientist has built in order to understand what it means. Right? And all this can all be checked in into the same source code control. And now I'm not only able to work with data science people, I'm able to, if I'm a data aspiring data scientist, I'm now able to also learn what data science really means to me. I can also then run this in the same environment, super powerful. And that's really the power of R built into SQL Server 2016, as well as all the developer tool sets that you are familiar with today. You can now leverage it. Now, let me switch back to the slide. And what you've just seen in the demo, where I showed you the stop procedure, I showed you how you could integrate R into the stop procedure, and I showed you how you can build an application consuming the results or the advanced analytics or the intelligence, right, from the stop procedure. And this slide essentially shows you how we could operationalize R code through T-SQL to an app developer perspective. And this essentially means the application which we've just seen earlier, called a stop procedure. Everything executed in the context of SQL Server 2016 with R. There was a bunch of R code that gets executed. This can return results. Now, in this case, my application could consume the result in order to build a delightful experience that would be super useful within a company. Now, to summarize what you have just seen in this webinar, we showed you what does it mean to do data science for a database professional, whether you want to aspire to be a data scientist so that you can derive even more insights from the data, or whether you want to work with a data scientist in order to leverage many of the great work that they have done and integrate them, operationalize them using familiar knowledge that you already have today, right? And more importantly, how you can bring value to the data science people by providing them with a fast, highly performant database, leveraging a lot of innovations that's happening in the database space, and the pace of innovation is just continuing to accelerate. So what you've seen in this webinar is really how you bring compute to data, where Fang showed you how you can leverage a SQL context to run all this within a database. You also seen in this webinar how we operationalize some of this R script, By making them available as a stop procedure, by showing you how you could invoke it from your application, but more importantly, we showed you that, well, with this, it actually opens up a huge amount of possibilities where you can then be able to leverage a lot of the enterprise performance and skill that you have expect from a database product like SQL Server 2016, right? Being able to leverage all the things like in-memory querying, column store indexes, right? And from an R perspective, leveraging a lot of the powerful algorithm that the Revel Skill R libraries provide, right? And if you combine this together, it's going to be incredible because now you have the power of R built into SQL Server 2016, and now you can use it to do amazing things. Now, what we've shown in this demo, whether it's the R code, whether it's the database, whether it is the T-SQL script, we have made this available to everyone on this webinar, where you could start off with reading about what does it mean to do in database advanced analytics with R. All the sample code and database available as a backup file is available in this GitHub repository. And we also provide you references to MSDN documentation with a lot of deep dive walkthrough, right, built by the data science team to help you understand how you can get started, whether you are at the beginning of the journey or whether you are already exploring this but you just want more information. Hopefully all these links will help you get started. Thanks a lot, everyone, for spending time on this webinar. We appreciate your time, right, spend together with us, right, learning about data science, learning about database technologies, and learning how we can blend these two together. And I'll hand it over back to Rahi, who will wrap up the call. Thank you. Rahi?
Hi, Rihang. Thanks for the great presentation. I will start a poll question. I'll give everyone a few minutes to answer the poll. This feedback really helps us make our webinars more effective. As everyone's finishing adding their feedback, I'd like to thank you all for joining us today and have a great day.